is to be found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and likewise of John. We have in this lesson Jesus walking upon the sea. Last week, we had the lesson where he had fed 5,000 people, and there was so much left over, 12 baskets full. And now we find after he had fed these people that these people, they had it in their minds to make him king. They said, he's just the person that we need. He's able to bring forth bread and to feed a multitude like this. We have nothing to worry about if he's our king. Then they were talking with each other to make him king. And now these disciples that Jesus had called, they likewise were of the opinion that he was going to be an earthly king. And when they heard the multitude speaking like this, they were in accord with them. Sure, they thought, that's good. Let's make him king. Then our master, he'll go up to Jerusalem, we'll put him on the throne, he'll drive the Romans out of the land, and we'll be deputies with him, and he will reign as king over us. And now, of course, Jesus had not come to be an earthly king. And where he noticed that these people were going to take him by force and make him king, he sent his disciples away. These disciples, they didn't want to go. It says here, he constrained his disciples to go. In other words, he forced them. They were very reluctant to get into the ship to leave him. They wanted to make him king and be with him. But he finally constrained them to leave him. And he must have spoken to this multitude of people and told them that he had not come to be an earthly king and that they shouldn't think that they were going to make him such. For he must have convinced them thereof, and they finally departed from him. And he likewise left them. And he went up into a mountain to pray all alone. And when evening came, he was there alone. And we have in this, my hearers, the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us an example where we should go when we pray. The Lord Jesus spake when he was here upon earth, that when ye pray, enter into your closet and shut the door behind thee, and pray unto your Father, which seeth thee in secret, and your Father who heareth thee in secret will reveal it unto thee openly. This was the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this was the example that he likewise gave himself. He went alone on this mountain to pray. Let me ask you, my hearers, have you such a place in your home that you resort to? Have you a room? Have you a place that you go to? Maybe in the basement, maybe in the attic, maybe outside somewhere. I know an elder of ours, he had a place. It was out in a shed in the backyard. Doesn't make where it is. If you only have a place to go to, I'm afraid that very few that are listening to me have such a desire to get alone to pray. I think millions of the human race live without prayer. I'm firmly convinced that many of you people that come to listen every Sunday practically live without prayer. Oh, you can't say that of us, you say? No? Have you such a place as I'm talking about? You may say grace before your meals and after your meals, like I was speaking last week, but have you now a particular place to go to, that you get alone, that you shut the door, and that you have something to tell God that you wouldn't want to tell anybody else on this earth? I'm afraid you'll say, no, I don't have any such desire. You have not God then as your refuge? You haven't any troubles? Any particular case to bring to him? You live without him. How sad is your case, my hearers? The Lord Jesus Christ, by the word of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews, he lived a life of prayer. He speaks of Jesus when he was here upon earth, that with strong cries and tears, He cried to God in heaven above and was heard and was answered in that he feared. Let me ask you, are there some amongst my hearers who live a life like the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you at times, I won't say every day, but have you at times strong cries and tears to God that he may save you, that he may answer you, that he may pardon your sins and prepare you for eternity? What a blessing, my hearers. If you know something about what I'm speaking about, I think there are some that are listening to me that know of a time when there were nothing else but prayer. I know of a time like that in my life. Oh, what a life of prayer a newborn soul leads. Oh, how near that person is to God. How they unbosom themselves unto God in secret. How often they resort to a place alone. They want to be alone. They seek to be alone. They long to be alone. And oh, they find God when they are alone, so close to them. They are given to pour out their soul unto him. All the things that they are given to say to God in secret when they are alone in this particular state. All my hearers, they find such nearness and such access, and they find God speaking to them even when they are alone. There seems to be communion and fellowship with this unseen God. You know of such a time, my hearers, when you were all prayer? And to you I direct again my question, how is it now with you? What must you say about yourself? Must you say, oh, how little do I have a desire to pray? I have to force myself to go alone sometimes. And when I do go alone, I don't find what I found in the beginning. I don't find that nearness, that access to God. I find so many things creeping into my mind that I can't find that what I had before. It seems to be all gone. And oh, because it's this way, I often say, well, what's the use of going alone trying to pray? You restrain prayer from God because that spirit of prayer seems to have been taken away. Aren't you ashamed of yourself that you can forget your best friend, he to whom you went to, he into whose ear and into whose heart you poured yours? All my hearers, what are we before God? We find Jesus on the mount, praying. What a blessing, my hearers. If we are given in this life to pray truthfully, sincerely, and uprightly with our hearts to God, if he has given us to do this, there's an answer coming in due time. And now while the Lord Jesus Christ was up on this mountain, these disciples, they had been sailing on the sea. And as they were sailing across the sea, there came a storm upon the sea. Now these disciples, they were experienced fishermen, and they had been in a storm before. You know we had a lesson about that previously. But then they had Jesus on board. And when the storm got so rough and they thought that the ship was going to sink, they went to Christ. He was asleep. And they shook him and they woke him up. And he arose, and he spake to the winds and to the sea, and there was a great calm. But now, they had not Jesus on board. And here they were, in the midst of this storm, toiling with their rowing, trying to keep the ship above water. But, oh, they were filled with fear. They thought sure that this ship was going to sink. My hearers, take notice, as these disciples, they had been constrained by Jesus himself to get into this boat and to go across the sea. They were in the right way. They hadn't left him. They hadn't departed from him and tried to go across themselves. No, he had directed them to do this. Now, this teaches us that we may be in the way in which Christ has sent us, and we still will have storms that will meet us. If you are a person that has been born again, and that is walking on the narrow way which leads to everlasting life, and you will encounter storms in this life, most certainly. Almost every person encounters storms in this life. Man is born unto trouble, like the sparks of the fire fly upward. Many things happen to natural people as well as to God's people in this life. Afflictions, bereavements, sometimes loss of goods, sometimes loss of your position in life, sometimes you're brought to poverty. Storms and trials meet everybody in this life. If you don't have any, you're being richly blessed by God. But sometimes it happens with the children of God that not only storms outwardly meet them, but also storms inwardly. Outwardly, they are troubled and they are distressed. There may be affliction in the family. There may have been a bereavement. There may have been likewise a loss of your home and of everything that you had. Things happen in life. Fires come, destroy things. And likewise, sickness comes and you are unable to provide for your family. But in a spiritual sense, storms come in the souls of God's dear children. Sin arises. Just as the apostle says, sin revives. And when sin revives, my hearers, oh, what a storm this makes inside of a person that's striving against sin, that's struggling against it, praying that he won't sin, asking God to keep him from sin, and then still finding sin so strong and you so weak, giving way to it, having no power against it. And then the devil comes in and he says, what? You think you're a child of God? Look what you're doing. Look how you act. Are you any different than anybody else? And then he presents temptations before you. He tempts you to forsake God. Forget about your religion. You're going to hell anyway. That's what he says inside. He ever say that to you? He would tempt you to go away from God. He would never tempt you to come to God. And this storm, my hearers, is of such a fierceness that the soul thinks it's going to sink into eternal perdition. Storm inside and storm outside. And now these disciples were in the midst of the sea and they were battling against this storm. Maybe you're struggling against the storm too. Struggling in your own strength. Struggling in prayer and supplication. Trying to overcome these difficulties that you encounter. But with the disciples, Jesus was not on board. And maybe they say to you, Jesus isn't on board with you either, or you wouldn't go through all this. He'd sure be here by you. He'd sure help you. He'd sure strengthen you. And now these disciples, I am sure they were praying in the midst of this storm. Oh, they were looking for help from God. And they were struggling to try to keep this ship from sinking. And now, my hearers, Jesus was up on the mountain praying. He knew what was going on in this ship as God. He knew their trouble. He knew their distress, their anxiety, their fear. He saw them toiling in their rowing to try to keep this ship above water. Is there some soul here that I've just spoken to that also has been going through storms inwardly and outwardly? Jesus sees you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your anxiety. He knows your fears. He knows that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved. Jesus, he waits till the time is there that he may be glorified. And now we find that Jesus came in the fourth watch of the night, walking upon the waters to his disciples. the fourth watch of the night was that watch which was very near to morning. It was the darkest hour of the night. The Jews took this from the Romans. Previously, the Jews had three watches, three periods during the night. But the Romans, they separated the night into four parts, and they relieved their guards every 3 hours. And this the Jews took over too, and therefore we have what is spoken here of the fourth watch. And now we find Jesus walking on the waters. What a demonstration we have that he's God, that he was able to walk upon this boisterous sea. He who had created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that is therein, he was the upholder of the universe. He walked majestically, majestically upon this sea. Oh, my hearers. And as he was walking upon this sea, he drew near to the ship where the disciples were in. And they saw something in the darkness, and they became greatly afraid. They saw what they thought was a spirit. In other words, they thought they saw a ghost walking on the sea, and they became afraid. I'm sure, my hearers, if you and I were on that boat too, we would be afraid. Imagine in the darkness of the night, in this storm, and you see something coming over the waters. And this, what they saw, they thought, was a spirit. And as Jesus drew nigh unto the ship, he spake unto them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Oh, my hearers, how suitable were these words to these disciples. Oh, they were just to the point. It was just what they needed. "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Oh, yes, my hearers. If you have ever been in a storm and you have been sinking, as like these disciples were, and the Lord Jesus has come to you, he has spoken to you that word that just suited your case. I often quote in prayer that he knows how to speak a word in due season to that soul that is weary. And many a soul has experienced that in life. All the words were just to the point. Nobody knows how to speak a word like Jesus does. "Be of good cheer." They were filled with fear. They were filled with fright. "Be of good cheer." There may be a soul here that's filled with fear. There may be some souls saying, "How could I be of good cheer? I'm so downcast. I'm so depressed. I'm going through so many things in this life. I can't be of good cheer." The Lord knows that. Therefore, he comes and says, "Be of good cheer." And he spake to them and said, "It is I." Oh, I think there are some souls here that say, "I can't deny, sometimes I have had words come to me that were just so suitable for my case. They lifted me so up, and they comforted me, and they so encouraged me. But oh, who was it that was speaking to me? Oh, if I only could get behind that, who that was that was talking to me." There may be some souls here that say, "Oh, I wish that he would say to me, 'It is I,' that I would get behind that question and know that it's Jesus that's speaking to me. It is I." Oh, wouldn't you want him to say that to your soul? Oh, how faith then would inspire towards him. "Oh, it is I. This is Jesus. This is my Savior. This is my beloved." Oh, he makes himself known unto me and says, "It is I." And he spake unto these disciples and said, "Be not afraid." Oh, how suitable these words are, my hearers, for the Church of Christ. Are there any people that are afraid? It's them. Oh, how often they are afraid that it isn't God's work in their soul, that God hasn't begun what they feel and what they realize and experience. Oh, how afraid they are sometimes that they're going to go back into their former life, that sin is going to get the best of them, and that they're going to depart from all religion and make a spectacle of themselves after making a profession of religion. Oh, how strong are the temptations of Satan in this respect many times. Oh, how they give way sometimes to their own natures and to their own feelings. How sin, the world, Satan, and unbelief get the upper hand over them, and oh, they begin to sink and they become so afraid that it's all wrong. Nothing will ever come of it, that they're going to perish in their sins. And the Lord Jesus says, be not afraid. Oh, may he make it true for you. May he apply the word, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And now there was a disciple on board that ship when he heard Jesus speaking. He recognized his voice. He had heard that voice before. That was the voice of his master. That was the voice of his Savior. And when he heard Jesus speaking, he spake unto Jesus and said unto Jesus, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the waters. Now you may have heard his voice too. Just like Peter, you may have enjoyed something of it. And now Peter, he didn't just jump over the top of the side of the ship and start walking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to make sure that it was him. I think there are many a soul here that wants to make sure that it's Jesus too. Or to be sure, to be certain for eternity. He said, if it is thou, if, bid me come. He waited for Jesus to speak unto him to come. And when Jesus said, come, we find Peter going over the side of the ship and getting down on the water and starting to walk to the Lord Jesus Christ on the water. Oh, my hearers, what a precious grace is faith. This faith of Peter clung to this word, come. And he held on to that word. The Lord Jesus Christ had said, come. And all he that had said, come, he was the one that was walking on the water himself. And he immediately got down. And in all boldness, he began to walk on the water to Jesus. He walked by faith, my hearers. Oh, what a strong faith Peter had to climb out of the boat and start walking on the water. And now, my hearers, this word, come, is such a wonderful word. Have any of my hearers ever heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak to you in accents of love, come? Oh, when he calls a sinner out of this world, and he bids that sinner come, oh, my hearers, faith immediately is centered upon that word, just like Peter's faith grabbed a hold of that word and climbed over the ship, so with the sinner, that word come. That's such an attraction for such a soul. Why, that soul leaves everything. It leaves the world. It leaves every former friend. Oh, it comes. It's coming to Jesus. Coming by faith. That's strong faith, my hearers. Has God given you that? Has he given you that faith to leave everything, to forsake everything, and to come to him? Regardless of what would happen to you. Oh, what a blessing if you have had this. And now we follow Peter. Peter's walking by faith on the water. And now when he gets near to Christ, he takes his eyes off Christ. And he sees the wind blowing and the waves roaring. And Peter, he became afraid. And Peter began to sink. Have you experienced this, my hearer? You followed Christ in the beginning. Oh, how sweet it was to go to him. Oh, what you enjoyed coming out of the world, walking with him and talking with him. But now a storm arose, just like here. A storm inside. And all my hearers, you found yourself just like Peter, sinking. You got your eyes off Jesus, and you began to be afraid. Sin, the world, the devil, your own evil heart, your corruptions, they got the best of you. And when you looked, you became so afraid that it was all wrong, you began to sink. Oh, have you ever felt that, my hearers? Are you one of those sinking creatures? Oh, sinking in yourself, sinking, you say. I've come to this point that if Jesus don't save me, I'm lost forever. I'm going to perish if he don't save me. Is that the point you're at, my hearers? What a blessing if the Lord brings you to that point. Here, Peter, he's sinking on this water. He has his eyes off Jesus. And every soul that turns its eyes off Jesus will sink. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, he would not let this disciple sink. He would not let his disciples either succumb in that boat. They were the church of Christ. And it is said, nothing shall prevail against the church of Christ. And now Peter, when he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. All my hearers, three words, Lord, save me. You know, my hearers, I was thinking when I was studying this, you know, when Jesus says come, and we're given to come, I said before, we live a life of prayer. And honestly, you would want to be alone all the time and pray to God. All that prayer that you have, why, you would nothing else but prayer. But now when you begin to sink, then your prayers become short, very short. We find that in Peter. He only had three words. Lord, save me! Oh, it was a matter of life and death with Peter. He was going to sink in the waters. He was going to drown. And he needed Jesus to save him. When he started out, he was so bold, he had so much faith. But when he got near to Jesus, he began to sink. That teaches us, my hearers, that if Peter was like so many people talk today, they have their faith in their pocket and they can take it out whenever they need it and use it, I'm sure if Peter could have done that, he would have done that. But Peter could not exercise faith. He had strong faith. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, then his faith became very weak. You can see in this that in one moment a person can have very strong faith, and two or three minutes later, they have such weak faith, just like Peter. But he had faith. Those three words were words of faith, my hearers. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And he acknowledged him as the one that was able to save him. Lord, save me. How many in my class are praying this to the Lord? How many feel themselves sinking in the midst of this world, in all the troubles and anxieties that you pass through, in all the trials that you meet, in the sinking condition of your immortal soul? Are you ever brought to say, Lord, save me? For I most certainly shall perish. Oh, then I am sure Jesus is very near. For we find that Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he took hold of Peter, and he raised him up. Oh, this happens likewise in this life, my hearers. I know of a time, too, in my own experience when I've been sinking, and Jesus came and caught me by the hand. Has he ever done that to you? Has he ever come when you were sinking and lifted you up and given you a word of encouragement, given you a promise, given you a token again of his faithfulness and of his love and of his mercy? Oh, my hearers, he always comes in the fourth watch. He always comes when nobody else can help us, when all other helpers fail. Then Jesus comes and lifts us up. This is what he did to Peter. He lifted Peter up. He saved Peter from a sure death of drowning. And he will save every soul in whom he has begun that good work and who are looking unto him to be saved. He will lift them up in due time and give them to know himself as his Savior, as his Redeemer. And we find that immediately Peter and the Lord Jesus were in this ship. And when he got into this ship with his disciples, they were so amazed, they were so filled with wonder, that they fell down and worshiped him. They seen that he was the mighty God, that he it was that controlled the seas and the winds, and likewise that he was able to save them. Oh, my hearers, have you ever been in a storm in this life? Maybe you know more about the sea than I do. I've never sailed the sea, crossed the sea. But the Bible teaches us that they that go down to the sea in ships, they see his wonders in the deep. He causes the storm wind to fly, and he causes these waves to toss themselves on high. And many a person sailing the sea, they have been brought to their wits' end in the midst of a storm. The English people, they have a saying, go down to the sea in ships and you will learn to pray. And now, my hearers, we all are sailing the sea of this life, and we all are heading to a destination. Which way are you sailing? Are you sailing under the banner unfurled from heaven, namely under Jesus Christ? Oh, what a blessing. And then you will most certainly arrive at that destination that he is taking you to. But if you are not under the banner of Jesus Christ and you are sailing the sea of this world and enjoying its pleasures, and finding everything that your heart desires in this life, then, my hearers, the end will be terrific. Oh, to meet God without Jesus. Oh, what an awful eternity that will be. Oh, may God press it upon your hearts, and may you be given to follow my instruction this afternoon to go in secret, to close the door, to kneel down and beseech this God in heaven above, that he may look upon you in mercy and may save you and prepare you for that great day of judgment, that you may be found in Christ Jesus, and that you may be sailing the sea of this life with Jesus as he that is steering the ship and guiding it safely through all the dangers to that heavenly destination where you will be with him forever and ever. This concludes our lesson for today, my hero.